This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
So yes, that's going to unleash a lot more confidence, a lot more investment, and try to stabilize the market that was on a complete downward spiral. So I think we will be able to bring some back, but not at the levels we had 5 or 10 years ago.
You know, much has been made, Senator, of Rick Perry likely becoming the next energy secretary, a department that he had promised to eliminate not too many years ago, and it questioned its worth today. How do you feel about that? That was a job you were rumored for as well, but, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think Rick's going to be fine. Rick, first of all, President-elect Trump has put people around him, whether you agree or disagree, that basically have run things, they've done things. They're just not picked out of thin air. You know, Rick was the governor of one of the largest states we have in our country for more than anybody else, 10 years. So he understands. He can pick people. I have confidence Rick will do a good job. And I'm going to work to hopefully help him. I'm all for it all in energy policy. But I think you have to look and be realistic and pragmatic that we're going to use fossil for some time. The rest of the world is going to use more fossil than ever. Don't you think that it makes sense to invest in the technology that would be able for us to use it cleaner and better, being able to take the CO2, but do it in a responsible manner and in a cost-effective manner, and then be able to have this technology used around the world? It didn't make any sense just thinking that we were going to switch, Neil, to a carbonless energy policy, and the rest of the world would follow, and we've done irreparable harm to our economy.
Well, you know, what Joe Manchin says is realistic. I mean, this is part of the problem that, you know, that the Democratic Party and Democrats are in leadership is having, is that not everybody's taking the grape juice. And Joe Manchin has always been reasonable whenever, you know, you've heard conversations and his insight, how he articulates certain challenges that we're faced with in this country. And this is why I'm saying, you know, the Joe Manchins of the Democratic Party need to reengage in the process. It doesn't seem like he's too far off here, Scott. He's in there and he's engaging, not like some who want to, you know, find their safe space and, you know, complain that it's the boogeyman or Putin or somebody else except themselves. Whoa. Who made the mistake and why Donald Trump got elected and Hillary Clinton did not.
Well, he's finding common ground. You find the common ground, and then you work from there. It's how relationships are built.
So. Well, it's how things work. It's not about who gets the credit. And this has been the problem over the last, dare I say, couple of decades. Everybody wants credit for it. You know, the Democrats want the credit at the expense of the Republicans.
Everybody,
it doesn't work that way. It's got to be win-win. It's got to be win-win for everybody, for we the people, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the team coming together to make it happen, right?
Well, yeah, they always want to take credit for everything, but they never take blame on themselves.
Of course.
Yeah, everything is they did this or this happened or. You've never actually heard them come out and say, hey, we just, we messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's political anathema. You can't do that sort of thing. I mean, even when you get, you know, like what happened in the recent election where you have Democratic officials with their hands in the cookie jar, as they say. I mean, crumbs all over their face and everything. And somehow they're, you know, they're striving for plausible deniability. And look what happens. I mean, you know, people forget, you know, they're back on the air and you go, what happened with Donna Brazile? Wasn't she in trouble? What happened with Debbie Wasserman Schultz? What happened with Susan Rice? You know, after she lied to everybody, well, you know, they kind of like set him out there and then bring him back. What happened to Al Gore? Wasn't he goofy about the unintended consequent, inconvenient, you know, truth or whatever, you know, that he came up with that he won awards for and everything? And it, you know, nothing happened, you know, to me. It's like, look, if you predict something is going to happen, it doesn't, you know, you're disqualified. I mean, ask Dick Morris. Dick Morris said, hey, there's no way that Mitt Romney's going to lose. You know, he's in. You know, he's our next president. Well, guess what? He was wrong. Well, Dick Morris has been put on timeout for an extended period of time. He doesn't have a voice in the marketplace like he had before. You know, to me, that's what should happen to people that make big mistakes. Yes, you have a chance to, you know, kind of reconcile and, you know, figure it out. Come back, like you say, Scott, admit, hey, look it, I blew it. I'm, you know, whatever. And, you know, kind of reassess yourself and get ground again. That's your chance.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. Bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess. I think we will all agree. This is why it's so critical, and this seems to be the theme of this morning, and that is accountability. It's about we the people holding the elected officials accountable for their choices, okay? And, you know, the work is not over just because you voted. This is just the beginning. We've known that this country has been sideways for a long time. So, look it. If you're serious about it, be all in. All hands on deck. It's not a Republican thing, a Democratic thing. It's a we thing. It's an us kind of thing, the United States kind of thing, all right? We've got an interesting topic we're going to be talking about, one that should get more attention, and that is the issue of adoption. And Paul Batura is with us. He's the Vice President of Communications for Focus on the Family. In his role, Paul is responsible for media and public relations, internal communications, community relations to the ministry's Colorado Springs neighbors. With more than two decades of diverse experience in the news media, broadcast journalism, publishing, and nonprofit administration, Paul has been with Focus on the Family since 1998. Prior to serving in his current capacity, Paul served as a top writer and advisor to both Focus's founders, Dr. James C. Dobson, and its current president, Jim Daly. Paul Batura, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on to talk about, this underreported on issue of adoption. There's so much about adoption that we don't know. And congratulations on the book, by the way, Chosen for Greatness, How Adoption Changes the World. I think this is going to go a long way to broaden the discussion. Because you think of, in the context of this world that has, for all intents and purposes, or let's just say this country, has murdered 56 million babies, how many of those could have been adopted, put out for adoption, and what kind of contribution could they have made? I mean, just in a crass sort of labor statistic way, you have people in government saying, well, 56 million people, that's a generation of a labor force that we've eradicated. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we need laborers. So we've kind of shot ourselves in our own foot on so many levels, and we're not even getting into the spiritual consequences of it. We're just talking about, the evidence at the top level, Paul.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you addressing the topic because it is a very important one. And as you indicate, I mean, you're talking raw numbers. I think about this. There's over a million abortions a year, and there's over a million families currently waiting for an adoption placement. Those numbers are not coincidental, and I think it's just a shame. Obviously, you talk about the potential of every human life, and we have evidence to show that when a child is given a chance and adopted, great things can happen. That's what I try to do in telling these stories. That's why I did the book. But it's a very personal topic. It's a very important one, and I appreciate you addressing it.
Well, okay, so, you know, obviously, there was something, it was a driving force for you. I often sense that these are like the 3 o'clock in the morning conversations you have with God, and you feel like God's saying, look, this needs to be written about. You need to do this book. And you struggle through this. I don't think it was the kind of thing where you just, you know, fell out of bed one day and say, hey, I'm going to write this book about adoption. I sense the way even your approach in writing this book and what I'm reading here, boy, there's a lot of you in this.
Well, I appreciate that. I think anytime you try to put pen to paper, you know, someone told me once, if you really want to know what you think about, try and write about it.
Because it really does
sort of force you to put this down and to really think it through. It's a personal topic to me because my wife and I have adopted 3 boys. Mm-hmm. They're now 11, 6, and 4. And as they grow and they understand adoption more and more, what I really want them to see is that adoption does not put them at a disadvantage. You know, in fact, in many ways, it can put them at an advantage. You know, that historically, when you look at those individuals who were adopted, they didn't succeed in spite of being adopted, but because they were. And, you know, kids love stories, and we all love stories. And I would try and find individuals who were adopted so I can tell them, so they can relate to these individuals that they see. And it's really remarkable that there's so many household names, people
exactly.
that you know and I know, who started out and or had an adoption in their family. That's why I felt so strongly. And frankly, as someone who's strongly in support of life, I just want to get across the message that life is the better choice. I mean, this is not, I know it's a controversial issue, but I mean, can anyone disagree with that? I mean, when Planned Parenthood performs over 300,000 abortions a year and makes less than 1,000 adoption referrals, something is wrong.
Exactly.
Reasonable people should be able to agree that they should be making far more referrals than they are.
Yeah, they're really about women's rights and that sort of thing. But I say only that sort of thing because whenever it's about one gender right, well, what about the other gender right? What about the male's rights? You know, Paul, I'm telling you, you talk about 3 o'clock in the morning kind of conversations you have with God. This is the thing that I see and hear on the horizon. And that is the scream of men whose voices have not been heard, that have not had a say in this whole, or have had minimal say in this whole abortion process. And they are grieving. They're grieving silently. And they're just waiting for that moment, Paul, when they can just vacate their emotions and let it all come out. Because, you know, their children, we've got grandparents who have lost children to this process, to this abhorrible process. And their grieving has been squelched all in the name of the right of the woman. Well, what about everybody else's right that's affected by this as well? I think it's greatly ignored, and it's being ignored at a grave expense to our communities and to our nation.
You know, Bill, you're so right, and you know there are so many bystanders to it that are victims as well. Yeah, you know, I think if we're just a few days here before Christmas, and you know that favorite movie of so many, It's a Wonderful Life, and you think about Jimmy Stewart getting to experience George Bailey. What life would be like had he not been born. And I think that's something that strikes me when I look at the outcome of these adoptions. You think of the 56 million who were never given a chance. How different would the world be? How many new accomplishments? How many new inventions? How greater would life be? And how different family life would be? It's a tragedy because, you know, there's enough tragedy in life and, you know, over the course of natural living, that we should do better than we have done.
Well, and, you know, and as you were talking earlier, I couldn't help but recall, you know, when you talk about choosing life, you know, God tells us in the Old Testament, he says, look at, you know, what stands before you today is life and death. And, you know, the Word of God says this. And in case you have any doubt, it even gives you the answer. Choose you this day, whether you choose life or death. And so if you're in much of a quandary about it, let me give you the right answer. The right answer is choosing life. Life always wins out for lots of reasons, some that we may not understand at this immediate moment, but down the road we do. And this is why you write about 16 people who were adopted that you say household names that we never thought would be adopted. And you consider what they have contributed. people like Steve Jobs and Nancy Reagan, Nelson Mandela, Babe Ruth, Faith Hill, a total of 16 that you highlight in your book, Chosen for Greatness, How Adoption Changes the World. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that title, Chosen for Greatness, and what God did in choosing us. Our conversation with Paul Batura continues. Stay with us.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need some extra cash for Christmas presents this year? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If you could use extra cash for Christmas, turn your radio up. 45cash.com specializes in connecting you with a lender ready to give you the cash you need for Christmas. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right. No paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com to request up to $5,000 for Christmas spending in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No. Icon Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
I remember when people used to say things like Merry Christmas to each other. Everybody said Merry Christmas! Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Lowenstein! You know why? Because it wasn't about a religion. It was about something as a culture we thought was so valuable that we'd all do it together, even if I disagreed with the religion behind it, because it was good for all of us instead of just me. What would he say now? Happy Holidays. See, I just say happy holidays because I don't want to say Christmas because you don't believe in Christmas because I don't want to offend you.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. It's all Christmas. Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, it is. It's Christmas with a capital C, the Fish Guys Force. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Paul Batura is with us, Vice President of Communications for Focus on the Family. In his role, Paul is responsible for media and public relations, internal communications, and community relations to the ministry's Colorado Springs Neighbors. His brand new book, Chosen for Greatness, How Adoption Changes the World. He highlights 16 household names, people that we grew up with and we know about, who, but we may not have known they were adopted, whether it was Steve Jobs, Nancy Reagan, Nelson Mandela that we mentioned earlier, Dave Thomas, Art Linkletter, Gerald Ford, George Washington Carver, Newt Gingrich, Scott Hamilton, 16, like I say, household names you've heard about, but may not realize they were adopted. And the stories associated, of course, with their life and you know, the insight that Paul brings out to bless us. And Paul, this is really a blessing. I mean, congratulations on the book, because it does open up our minds to, you know, something that's so greatly underreported on, and I think underappreciated. I mean, your family directly, you have a couple of children that you've adopted, and so you've been blessed through the process as well.
Well, thank you, Bill. That's very, very generous of you. I simply tried to connect the dots and tried to, you know, when I looked up the stories, we know their accomplishments, of course, because we know who they are. But really what surprised me was that their adoptions were so often treated as some footnote, as if they were, you know, just, oh, by the way, they were adopted. And in reality, it was the adoption that, you know, set them on the course that allowed them to achieve what they did. And that's really the power behind the act itself.
I mean, the president, your current president of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, was adopted, right?
Well, no, he was, unfortunately, he was in the foster care system.
Oh, foster, okay. Right.
Yeah, so he never was picked for a forever family. He, you know, that's one of the reasons he's so passionate about adoption now, because he knows what he missed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could say, well, he turned out pretty well, but the reality is everyone has their own cross to bear. And certainly, mm-hmm. You know, not having a mom and dad throughout life certainly posed some real challenges to him.
But what a grander forever family he has. I know amongst the Focus on the Family members, they look to Jim as one of the family. And whenever he's been on the show as well, you know, there's just something real special about Jim Daly. You talk about chosen for greatness, even in his position, where he may have thought, regrettably, that he didn't have, you know, a family like that. But, you know, Abraham was confused as to what God intended for him. You know, how was he at his age going to have a baby, and how was he going to have more children than the grains of sand in the sea, right?
Well, and Jim often says God has a great sense of humor. The fact that he would take a man like Jim Daly from a broken home and elevate him to lead an organization to succeed a man like Jim Dobson, mm-hmm. who is, you know, came from a very strong family, a pastor's family. You know, it sort of reflects. Perhaps we say the times that, you know, there are more and more families, unfortunately, who don't fit the traditional model. And so Jim can speak to them and can relate to them in ways that some of us cannot,
came from
a more stable background.
Exactly. Well, Paul, you know, when you talk about adoption, I wanted to have some time to talk about the spiritual relationship. And that is when we look at how God has adopted us. You know, for those of us who are born again, and you talk about chosen for greatness, he is the one that sanctifies. He, Jehovah Makedesh, who sanctifies, sets us apart, says that he knows the beginning from the end. It's quite a grand vision that he has for his creation, isn't it?
It really is, and I do think it is a metaphor for our lives as believers. If you believe in Scripture, as Christians do, then you have to realize that you know we're part of God's family through no achievement of our own. Mm-hmm. We simply accepted Him; He accepts us, and we're given all the rights and privileges that come with being part of God's family. And that's very much what adoption is. You know, you have this little baby or maybe a few years older child who certainly didn't accomplish anything in order to earn the right to be part of a family. The family simply accepts them, chooses them, welcomes them. That's really what it is to be a Christian, and that's why I included Jesus as the ultimate adoption story. I don't know if I had thought about this growing up, that Jesus himself had an adoptive father in
Joseph,
because Joseph was obviously not the biological father, but accepted the word from God and was obedient and, you know, very courageously really stepped forward. I mean, no threat or pressure there, right, to be asked to be the son of Jesus. And that's quite a job.
Right, exactly. Well, and the operative word here is chosen. You know, he had a choice to make. Joseph did. And the culture, quite a bit different than what we live here in America today. Everything, you know, when people can live together before they get married or, you know, and have children, and how the culture has been attacked, the values that God has established for us to follow, which he says that if we do right, will it not go well for us? We have chosen to learn the hard way. To find out that when we do wrong, it doesn't go so well. But that's what is before us, is a choice. Are we going to choose life? Are we going to choose death? Those things that are consistent with righteousness promote life. And so here's Joseph at a time when, boy, you just didn't do this. All of a sudden you got a pregnant wife and you're not married. I mean, we don't even stop to really consider what Joseph and what Mary had to be going through at that time. I mean, she's going by what an angel had said to her, that, and of course she herself knows directly, you know, she didn't have any knowledge of Joseph in the sexual sense, so that didn't take place, but she's there on a hope and a prayer and believing in what the angel said, that, you know, and as she accepted and said, God, as your will, you know, as you would want for your handmaiden. But meanwhile, you know, she had the culture. She had people around her that are looking at her, and even Jesus, you know, they tried to put that shame on him throughout his ministry, didn't they?
They did, and you're describing what I consider to be obviously the most dramatic moment seen in history, and what strikes me with that is that, you know, secular and certainly even contemporary culture tends to depict Christmas as this idyllic moment when all was bright and all was quiet. Which, of course, the night of his birth was or that in many ways, Scripture's clear that it was. But it was also surrounded, framed by a very dramatic scene. You have, as you indicated, an unwed mother. You have a baby being born in a very dysfunctional kind of a place. You have a king who wants the baby dead. You have a couple who are then escaping to avoid the murder. You have wise men who are being visited in dreams. I mean, it's very dysfunctional. It's very chaotic. And in many ways, I think it reflects adoption, because anyone who's adopted realizes it's not always going to be that Hallmark Hall of Fame kind of a moment.
Right.
It you're going to go through your ups and downs. You have to, you know, lean into the difficulty. But in the end, if God is sovereign, which we believe he is, he somehow works all out for the good.
Well, again, Paul, we cannot thank you enough. The conversation for adoption, I pray, will be broadened. This is such a gift, I believe, to the body of Christ and to humanity at large. You know, chosen for greatness, how adoption changes the world. And, you know, Paul and his wife, Julie, had the privilege of adopting their three young boys. I may have misspoke and said two. It was actually three, Riley, Will, and Alex at birth. And have joined countless other families in celebrating the courageous decision of birth mothers and birth fathers who chose life. And that's what this is all about. Paul Batura from Focus on the Family. Paul, thank you so much for being with us. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Bill. Merry Christmas to you and your family as well and your listeners.
Go and get your hands on this book. It will be such a blessing for you to read about these 16 incredible stories of adoption.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's all about you, America. That's what this is all about on this independent radio show, Bill Martinez, live. We come to you fresh every day, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. That'd be Eastern Time, 6 to 9 Pacific. Again, I cannot thank enough Paul Batura for his book, Chosen for Greatness, How Adoption Changes the World. And my prayer is that he will open the minds of many who have been thinking about adoption, and for those that have been involved in the adoption process, sometimes it can be very, very tedious. I have some dear friends that have gone through it, and I say gone through it. Sometimes it's not as easy as you would think, especially when you have a culture and a society that seems to want to kill babies. You know, why not give them up for adoption? Seems to me as a better option. You choose life, but sometimes even with the choice in front of them, I mean, this is why God said, look, you're going to be faced with this. You're going to have opportunities to choose life and death every day, sometimes several times a day. But let me give you the best choice. The best choice is always choosing life. And his book, Chosen for Greatness, highlights 16 household names that we grew up with, you know, Steve Jobs. I mean, Steve Jobs, in the opening pages of his biography, Steve writes and he reflects candidly on his adoption. He always knew he was adopted. He says, my parents were very open with me about that. He told Walter Isaacman, but he recalls a chilling moment when he was maybe 6 or 7 years old, and he told the girl across the street that he was adopted, to which she replied, so does that mean your real parents didn't want you? Oof. And that's a whole nother discussion altogether. that we need to probably have Paul back and discuss some of these, some of these other attributes that come along with adoption and some of the things that the birth parents are challenged to overcome. And that is that spirit of rejection, that they're not responsible for. But, here it is. They counter that spirit of rejection by saying, look, I didn't reject you. I chose you. I mean, of all the kids, I chose you. And for Paul and his wife, they chose three sons and got involved with choosing life and understand what that's all about. Dr. Cass Ingram is with us right now. Appreciate Cass coming on to talk about this season. There's just something about this season where depression and anxiety seem to be, on the rise, and it's just tightened up a little bit more. Dr. Cass Ingram, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you back with us. How you doing?
Well, how are you getting along over there?
Hey, we're doing good here. I mean, it's Christmas, my favorite time of year. But I know for some people, depression and anxiety can creep in to all the wonderful colors, the great music, and that sort of thing, because some things, just are not aligning for them in a way that they would expect this holiday to align for them.
Yeah, there's some familial stuff that seems to have an impact. Seems like people are set up for this, but there's also this seasonal issues with the vitamin D decline and sunlight. There's a few bits and pieces, but you can ride this attitude over propensity. Just take a really good attitude. Don't make a difference to you what the weather is. Hey, it's always a beautiful day. Everything's great.
Right.
That helps. But there are some chemical imbalances too that happen. And so I wrote the Cannabis Cure book because for in the Victorian times, in every doctor's black bag, you had cannabis extract. It was a standard, very important natural medicine at that time.
Yeah.
And it was a natural medicine, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And Cass, we're entering a time and period in our culture where many states now have legalized cannabis, most for medicinal purposes. And I guess we're realizing, I mean, for those of us that are baby boomers that, were raised under, the Reefer Madness movie and all that protocol. People found out, hey, wait a minute, especially after Vietnam, especially, when the soldiers came back from Vietnam and were reintroduced to hemp and cannabis, that I don't know what they're talking about. It's not real. And then you look back in the history of hemp in our nation, a commodity that it was.
Yeah.
I think it was even suggested and reported that our Constitution was written on hemp paper.
Yes, and furthermore, you have to keep, that's why it's so strong and the document survived. You have to keep in mind that the British were fining the colonists for not making their hemp quotas.
Yes.
Now, that was used as a big industry. We're missing out. We need the economy, but because of the corrupt vested interests, they're still holding on to the old school thing. And so now you can't really grow hemp and make money. You have to buy it from Europe or Canada.
figure, huh?
It doesn't make any sense. But the biggest loss is in the medicinal properties because this was one of the top three natural medicines that the doctors used. They used a lot of junk too, mercury and arsenic and all that. But the favorite was cannabis pills and cannabis tincture. It was used for a bad case of the nerves,
Right. Well, whether it's doctors or people in general, we'll do that which we get rewarded for. I mean, if there's benefit, direct benefit from it, hey, we're going to use that. And historically and empirically, there's evidence here that hemp was used quite readily and it was very successful in the midst of all the other stuff, the Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Army Show medicinals that they would sell out the back of their carts, right?
No, that's right. So this is a reliable natural cure for 10,000 years of history. It was used by the ancient Greeks to sedate people before surgery so they wouldn't feel the knife. The Islamic doctors took up on this and made a very powerful extract that would sedate people for 7 days back in the 9th century, 10th century Baghdad so that they wouldn't feel anything post-op. It's been invaluable. Now all of a sudden it's demonized. We need to get back into this. The mothers are pushing the legislature because it's one of the few drugs, and it's almost like a drug, although it's still from a plant, that obliterates seizures.
Right.
And there's some good scientific studies showing this. I've taken it a step further, and I found that it's good for tremor, Lyme disease tremor, infectious, involuntary tremor of Parkinson's. So it's this whole seizure, epilepsy, epileptic fit, tremor, nervous irritability, it's effective against these syndromes.
Go ahead. Well, no, I was just, reflecting back in your report, when you talk about herbs like basil and wild oregano and rosemary, wild sage and hops have a long history as a treatment for mental diseases, extract of hemp with its high cannabinoid content. This has all been proven most effective in treating, mood swings in that.
Yes, and mood swings and depression and nervous agitation and anxiety and hardcore sort of Prozac cases or Paxil and all that. But what the fascinating thing to me is that, like you said, the cannabinoids, people smoke marijuana for a reason. They're not just doing it to rebel against the government.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting something out of it, albeit temporary, and smoking burns up most of the actives. But everything that makes you feel good is a cannabinoid. It's feeding that endocannabinoid. So cinnamon, who's going to have cinnamon toast without cinnamon? Are you crazy?
Right.
Once you put it on your oatmeal, and do you use a lot? Cinnamon is rich in cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody going to have pesto sauce without basil? Basil's rich.
Right.
You're going to have a pizza without oregano? Oregano is rich. Whatever we love is a cannabinoid.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of a carnation. Chamomile tea is a relaxant. These terpenes attach to the CB2 receptors in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cannabis is the richest source. Let's face it.
Yes.
That's why we've got to bring it back. It's a big medicine.
Well, states are moving in that direction. A number, especially at this past election, approved medicinal cannabis now. And, it can be done in such a way that the government, which cannot help itself, will over-regulate and create more problems than it's worth and almost defeat, the whole reason. But, we're an innovative bunch. We will still find a way to make it work, right?
Somehow we do.
We prevail.
The people can win this one.
Cass, very quickly, in the last couple seconds, where can they go for more information?
CassIngram.com, the cannabis cure, CassIngram.com, AmericanWildFoods.com, Hempanol. Check out the Hempanol, which is sophisticated CO2, cannabis and wild oregano. It's more powerful than CBD, more effective, and it's raw.
Well, Dr. Cass, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime, die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Getting America back on track.
I'm addressing Christmas cards. Aren't they cute? Each one has a little bunny on it, dressed up like a shepherd.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, don't forget, if you want that that DVD, Blu-ray of Hillsong United, Let Hope Rise, the movie, just in time for the holiday season. Oh, my goodness. It's going to bless your socks off. All you got to do, send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. bill@billmartinezlive.com. Say, hey, Martinez, put me in ABBA. Hey, we pull your name out. Merry Christmas to you. A nice gift be coming your way. The brand-new DVD and Blu-ray that was just released yesterday. Dr. John Huber is with us. He's the chairman of the Mainstream Mental Health, a nonprofit organization that brings lasting and positive changes to the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. Mental health professional for over 20 years. Dr. Huber is a clinical. I turned him into a car service here. I got to be careful. Dr. Huber is a clinical forensic psychologist. He is a practitioner with privileges at two long-term acute care hospitals. And in addition to that, a professor and teaches undergraduate and graduate psychology at Texas State University. I think it covers most of it. Your curriculum vitae goes on, and deservedly so, Dr. John. So I appreciate you coming on to talk about, depression in our kids, especially this time of year, because it seems to be on the increase every year about this time where our kids are more anxious, they're irritable. And you're saying, hey, wait a minute, don't discount it. This could be the first warning of depression in your child, right?
Oh, significantly. But first, I'd like to say thank you, Bill, for having me on, period. I really appreciate that. And the manifestations of depression in kids, it's a lot different than adults. First of all, they don't have the communication skills that we all have. And then society's kind of taught them that the only appropriate emotion that we can have is anger or happy. So when they're sad, about 30% of our depressed kids, they start acting out, and it's behavioral.
Well, how about the reasons that children are typically depressed? What have you found?
Well, most of the things that would cause adults to be depressed actually will cause kids to be depressed. Changes in environment, let down emotionally, thinking something special is going to happen and it doesn't happen the way they want it to happen. But kids also, they, especially the younger ones, have a little different world perspective than adults do. I mean, their whole world consists for the little kids of their bedroom, the kitchen, the living room, and that's their universe. And all of a sudden we stick them out into a school or a nursery school or kindergarten, and they're inundated by this global effect that, hey, their world is dramatically larger than it was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, what happened? It was all about me. Now it's not all about me anymore.
Exactly. Now, you know, we talk about this, but for kids under 10, it only is about 2.5% of our population of kids that we think are clinically depressed. I mean, that's not saying that there's not sadness if they lose a puppy or something like that. But by the time they get up to 16, 17 years old, it's about 7%, about 6.5 to 7%. And the funny thing is, before 10, it's mostly boys. By the time they're 16, it's mostly girls.
Wow, interesting. Well, why the turnover?
Well, I think there's a lot of changes that happen in puberty. I know there are a lot of changes that happen in puberty. And, you know, girls start a couple of years, roughly 3 years before most boys do. So all of a sudden, you know, they're 3 feet tall compared to the kid, the little boys that they're supposed to be attracted to. And by the time the boys start coming around, the girls have kind of, you know, how come nobody likes me? And the boys are just trying to identify who they are and oh my gosh, I got this peach fuzz and I'm a man. I need to be shaving. And they've got all these things going on and the communication just isn't there between the sexes at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that a parental issue, a school issue, or, you know, just a cultural issue? In terms of, it's like these kids are ill-equipped. I mean, we kind of like throw them in the deep end of the pool and say, go swim, you know?
Well, I think it's all the above. And then we've added, you know, over the last 10 years or so, we've added these smartphones and tablets. And, you know, kids are really great at communicating with texting and instant messaging and, you know, using all the different technologies. But then when you get face-to-face with them, they don't quite get the nuances, the eye contact, and mm-hmm. how to read nonverbals. So we're creating more problems for ourselves.
Yeah, their communication skills have been limited to Twitter speak. You know, they're speaking in 144 characters, and thumbs are flying. And you know, we laugh about it, but you know, the important thing is that, you know, look at, they still need to communicate. And you get some kids that are just like anything, like the rest of us, you know, we're either are inclined, to be more of an introvert versus an extrovert. You know, that complicates issues in and of itself, doesn't it?
Definitely. It definitely does. And what I recommend for parents and what we do with our own kids, I have an 11 and a 14 year old, is we have time during the day where we put everything down. No cell phones, no computers, no laptops. And we just sit down and say, you know, tell me about your day. What happened today? Mm-hmm. And sometimes now they even ask us how our day went, which is kind of shocking because it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're actually getting concerned with us.
Right. Well, they probably realize the benefit themselves. You know, it's like, wow, somebody, you know, cares enough about me. I matter enough that they really want to know about my day other than it's, you know, it's been okay. You know, I went to school. It's fine. No,
right.
That's
right.
Exactly. I mean, and I find it interesting too, especially with the kids, because the very thing they want is the very thing that they, you know, push away from, which is, you know, that in of itself is a whole, that'll cause you brain damage right there.
You know,
you can tell I'm speaking from personal experience here. It's just is really, really really a challenge, you know, because they're, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to approach this kid? And,
exactly.
You know,
We've kind of taken a step farther in our house, and then we also, or I actually, when I'm working with my patients and things like that, I try to get the families involved doing something that kind of puts everybody on an even keel. What we've done in my family is we all participate in martial arts.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, it's, you know, Dad and Mom aren't leading the class. It's the black belts up there, and we're having to go through, and we're struggling just like the kids are. So all of a sudden, we're almost a peer, and we can talk about other things besides, hey, is your homework done?
Right,
so
exactly.
That's helped a lot.
Yeah, you can talk about that kata that you're still stumbling over that you need to learn. And probably maybe that was the mistake I made. Maybe I should have joined my son. In doing that, I sent him to martial arts school. I thought this would be a great deal for him, and he went on to be very successful with it. And, of course, he leaps tall buildings now and breaks boards with his, you know, thumb and what have you. Amazing.
I think that's exactly true. I mean, my kids are just amazing. But actually, you know, I started this in my 40s, and I'm doing things now I couldn't do when I was 18.
Wow.
And I'm floored. So my kids giggle and laugh at me because I'm doing stuff that, of course, they've already been able to do because their bodies are much younger.
Yeah, they're flexible. I mean, guys like me and you, I mean, we're sitting there, we're creaking. We're starting to creak during that kata. That's embarrassing, you know?
Exactly. Well, some of the families I work with do other things like snow skiing and ice skating. It just depends upon your access to what you've got. It doesn't have to be martial arts, though.
Right. Yeah, you just do something that that kind of gets in the way of the natural progression of the family activities and dynamic. You know, today, Dr. Huber, a lot, and this is, I say today, but this has actually been going on, I'd say, probably for the last couple of decades, even in the educational circles, and that is that if you have a kid that's depressed or moves around a little bit too much, you know, they just want to medicate them. You know, that's the answer. Let's just do something low maintenance, you know, so we're going to quiet this kid down. And you say warningly that this could be life-changing and probably have more dangerous results than good.
Definitely. And the biggest predictor of having children that are depressed is if one of the parents is depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't like to jump right into medication. I think there's lots of avenues we have to go through. And, you said in education, that's where I'd start. I go to the school mm-hmm. and talk to the counselors. Now, I know counselors have been relegated to a lot of administrative type stuff, school scheduling and stuff like that. But they know the mental health practitioners in the communities that are trained to work with kids. Because, again, kids don't talk like adults do. And if you walked into my office with one of my young patients, you'd find me on the floor coloring and building blocks and using Lincoln Logs and, you know, because they communicate better through their actions than they
right.
do verbally.
Well, as you say, the classroom today, boy, you know, the objective is there, but the teachers are so overwhelmed. They just don't have the time. I mean, a child
That's
isn't rolling along with everybody else becomes a high-maintenance project, becomes disruptive, and anything that the teacher can do, they're basically rewarded to get rid of that child, get them out of the classroom, get them someplace else so that they can move the rest of the kids, you know, through the process. We got about a minute left here, Dr. Huber. What do you recommend for parents that deal with children who are depressed? What's your recommendation?
Well, educate yourself first. Find out what it's all about. And then find the people in your community that are trained to work with kids. Start talking to other parents and find out what they've done that's been successful. And you may not know if somebody else has had problems with their kids until you ask. So
exactly.
Get out there.
Yeah, go out there and find successful doctors, successful advocates who have a track record. They've proven themselves. That's great advice. Where else can they go for more information?
Well, they could go to my website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And we have several links there, and it's just the beginning point. But that's what I do.
Well, you got to start somewhere. Like you say, you've got to put some effort into it. Dr. John Huber has been with us, chairman for the Mainstream Mental Health, a nonprofit organization, brings lasting and positive change to the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. Dr. Huber, thank you so much for being with us. Merry Christmas to you.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. Again, that's 1-800-441-9833.
There is